Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. So part of the reason why we wanted to talk to Mr. Bill Cosby was that, I mean, the truth is, Daisy, we both grew up with his work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that multiple generations have grown up with his work now.
So I remember seeing him, again, as a young kid. You know, this was the height of the civil rights era in our country. And here was this amazing comedian coming into my home, home of Mexican immigrants, and telling these jokes. And I don't know, making us feel like we were part of this country, like we were family. That's my first reaction to Bill Cosby, is my dad, with his thick Mexican accent, able to understand the jokes that Bill Cosby was saying, and that we were like, oh, yeah, we get it. I think we are a little bit American. We're getting the jokes.
And for my family, I mean, my mother, myself, my grandmother, and my grandfather all sitting down together, and my aunt watching as a family, you know, those are some of my favorite memories. And my grandfather would always repeat the jokes, you know? He was somebody who would repeat the jokes. There's a famous episode that people know now because apparently a young Alicia Keys was on it, where it's a sleepover party and he's playing with all of Rudy's friends. And my grandfather would reenact that when friends would come over. And so for us, it was just so, so, so special. But it was also special because we saw people that looked like us on it. I asked Felix Contreras about the idea of representation, of seeing Latinos on The Cosby Show, and if that's something he thinks of when he thinks of Mr. Cosby.
No doubt. Absolutely. I mean, I've always wanted to shake his hand and thank him for doing things like that. He had Sonia Braga on.
Yes.
You have seen a lot of babies. Uh-huh. But tell me the truth. Isn't Gabriella the most beautiful baby you ever seen in your life?
Yes, but please don't tell Mrs. Huxtable I said that.
He had Tito Puente, you know, on NBC Primetime Thursday night when NBC was the deal, was the real deal, the big deal. For people who pay attention to representation issues in television, it doesn't get any better than that. And it really hasn't since then. Because I don't know that Tito Puente was on a primetime television show since then. You know, he moved things forward in a big way, and he made a major contribution to spreading the word about who these musicians are, and in the process, explaining their contribution to the overall culture here in the United States. Because it's not, you know, the Latin world and everybody else. In Bill Cosby's perspective, it's all one society. It's all one music. It's all... we're all one group of people, and we all like different types of music. And I think that's what his show did. So, yeah, hats off to Mr. Cosby for doing that, because for me personally, that was a huge deal, a very big deal.
You know, being the age that I am, I'm in my early 30s now, so I was, you know, a little kid in the 80s when The Cosby Show was just starting, when it was at its peak. And I remember that was already a show that my family sat down and watched together every Thursday. And then when Tito Puente popped up, it was like, wait, but this is a person that we talk about in my house, not just the other people that we know of that I hear about at school or I hear other kids talk about. This is a person, Tito Puente is a person that my family talks about. And that was so special to me to see that on that show, that moment of that recognition, of that similarity of, you know, even just hearing, you know, in another episode when Claire does speak Spanish, it really was very important to me personally as well. Absolutely.
There's nobody there, dear.
The Cosby Show was really just, I want to say it was like a one-of-a-kind opportunity for a one-of-a-kind individual to spread his message. I mean, he had a platform, and he had a very big platform, and he worked hard, again, for that platform. I mean, I used to watch him going back to I Spy, you know, I mean, when he was young, or when he had his first Cosby Show, when Quincy Jones did the soundtrack for that in the 60s. He worked hard to get to that point where he is on NBC on Thursday night, and he's able to expand and promote his own worldview, a view that many of us of different ages appreciated, endorsed, support, and just soaked it in. And just sort of like wrapped it around us like a shawl, like a flag, like this multicolored flag. Like, yeah, we're all part of the same group. We think alike, and it feels very, very hip to feel that way.
And Felix is so right. You know, I always think of the episode with Tito Puente on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, even though Roscoe isn't with us, wherever he is, I'm sure he's smiling, because we have here tonight all the original members of the Jazz Caravan.
Oh my God, that episode, which I just watched again recently, stands out because it's such a celebration of jazz. And it was on prime time on a weeknight, and you had American audiences by the millions being introduced or reintroduced to the music that Bill Cosby loves, that is our American soundtrack, jazz.
What happens in the episode itself is that Cliff Huxtable's father, Russell, you know, it turns out he used to be a jazz musician. He's retired. He has the opportunity to play with the old band one more time, and they all have to kind of convince him to do it.
And the final member has just arrived, Slide Huxtable.
And he finally goes and does it. And the whole back third of the episode is just the show of him playing with this old band. And he's up there with some serious all-stars.
Because standing here is about 1,000 years of jazz.
Art Blakey, Jimmy Heath, Patato.
Normally we let Slide warm up. But however, there is no time because Patato and I are getting old.
Now me, baby, you run, baby.
Vamos, amigos, muchachos, a tocar, vamos.
It was truly, you know, these now when we look at it, of course, these young jazz greats. But again, that the fact that jazz would be incorporated into what was then the most popular television show is pretty extraordinary.
And the actor who plays Russell, who's the grandfather on The Cosby Show, he's up there with these people. He's like mouthing along, playing the slide trombone while the other musicians are actually playing. And then, you know, again, just the time of it is kind of amazing. You know, a sitcom is generally 22 minutes without commercials. And it's almost a full 7 minutes that is just set in the club. He just lets it play.
And of course, Daisy, we're recording our show on 125th Street in the heart of Harlem in New York City. And actually that scene, they record, or they make it seem like they recorded it, in a little jazz dive club right down the street from the Apollo Theater. I mean, what great television.
I know, it's funny watching that episode all these years later and going, it looks like they are a block away from where we are right now, and just the energy and the music itself feeling so vibrant and really coming through. And they bring the whole family. Like, they're at a club. Rudy's there. She's at the bar watching with the family. So it really is a family affair no matter what.
I love that last scene where it's kind of like everybody, all the bartenders have gotten home, and it's just Bill Cosby and his wife, Felicia Rashad, and they're just dancing quietly, and there's no rush, and it's just a jazz club on a weekday night someplace in Harlem.
Quite an evening, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Russell hasn't lost his touch.
Spencer hasn't either.
Spencer's lost his endurance. He's in dreamland.
And so is Russell.
You know, and as we've said, you know, kind of being able to watch these shows and see people that you recognize, you know, seeing Tito Puente on that show, he gets a line, he's front and center with the timbales. You know, that's an amazing experience, not just for me as someone who grew up, you know, in New York City with my family, but, you know, immigrants see that and they see people that are playing the music that they're familiar with, too.
It's kind of like Bill Cosby had this idea, this very kind of, I don't know, revolutionary idea, because this was happening so many decades ago, to actually be kind of like truly multi-culti on primetime.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that ends up happening is that, you know, people who, again, were seen as quote unquote minorities or the other or the outsiders, suddenly you're on prime time. And for many immigrants, it really clicked in. It really clicked because it was like, yeah, this is the American family that I want to be a part of. And it was wonderful speaking with Mr. Cosby, because it turns out that this happens to him all the time. And it happens a lot precisely from immigrants who love him.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there with the term American family. His way of talking about family is what made him so relatable to so many people. And I think that that's the reason that he is, you know, arguably an American icon at this point.
So, you know, Daisy, what I did is I actually was very intrigued about this. And so I asked Mr. Cosby what the response is that he gets from people from different backgrounds, different immigrant groups, different cultural experiences. And this is what he had to say.
The most beautiful thing for me, I get in a cab. I get in a car with a chauffeur. I get on a bus. I get at the train station. And some person working there is now a citizen of the United States, male or female. And the first thing that they say to me generally is how much they love the show. Number two, exactly what the show meant to them in terms of family. Then these cab drivers who work 14 to 16 hours a day driving all around, whether they're bad guys or nasty guys, they show me pictures of the family. And they have four or five kids, and so-and-so's going to college. This one graduated from, and these are elitist things, too. And this man, and I met maybe two women driving. They're supporting wife, family. They say family, family, family.
You love that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because, look, your mother and father, no matter what, their revolution, whether it's civil rights or just a personal individual, is in the home. It's in the home.
You know, Daisy, the truth is that Mr. Cosby continues to give us his words of wisdom. I mean, I just love what he says about the idea of revolution being in the home. And that's so true of so many immigrant families, families who are essentially saying, we are hopeful and we want change and we want to be a part of it.
It really is remarkable how much of his work has been able to speak to so many people.
And we want to thank all of the guests who appeared throughout our program. Felix Contreras is the co-host of NPR's Alt Latino. Joe Conzo Sr. is a music historian and the author of Mambo Diablo, My Journey with Tito Puente. And Rebecca Molion is a pianist, composer, and an educator. And we thank all of them for their knowledge and for sharing it with us on Latino USA. And of course, our biggest muchas gracias goes out to Bill Cosby himself for coming and sharing his passion with us at our studios here in the heart of Harlem. Thank you, Señor Cosby.